listening to the podcast of the Attention Young Choreographers Series 2025. Artistic Direction, Brianna O'Mara and Chris Haring. The series is co-funded by the European Union in the frame of Lifelong Burning, Futures Lost and Found. Today's guests are Lisanne Pouzet and Olivia Riviere, the makers of the performance Dunkel, which was invited to this year's Attention series. We talked about the time when they met in choir school and how singing is their natural habitat, about how they moved from soprano and alto to heavy metal and growling, and about their ongoing fascination with the deconstruction of the voice. My name is Almut Kreser, and it was my pleasure to chat with Lisanne and Olivia. Very welcome, Lisanne Pouzet and Olivia Riviere. I'm happy to talk to you. We are again here in Mumok in the pop-up archive exhibition, and that's why sometimes in the background there's people that we can hear. That's how it is in a museum. That's supposed to be like this. And I'm very briefly introducing you. Olivia, that's you, right?
Yes.
So that's the voice.
Yes, I'm Olivia.
All right, great.
Mm-hmm. And I am Lisanne.
Perfect. So, Olivia, you are the one living in Copenhagen, right? Yes. And you did a master's in Montpellier at the Centre Choreographique. And that's funny because that is one of our partners of Lifelong Burning. And you are involved in dance ateliers in Copenhagen in an artist-run space, right?
Yes.
And you studied in Stockholm. You live in Stockholm.
Exactly.
You're also involved in a dance in an artist-run space there. It's called Höjden.
Höjden Studios in English, we say, but it's a differently run space and involves many more artists than dance atelier, which is they're just different sorts of like structures.
Yeah. All right. And then the two of you, you both have, now one more thing. You also participated in DanceWeb last year, right? So that's also another Lifelong Burning partner. And funny enough, I found two more when I read about you because you also did an internship at Ufer Studios in Berlin for this piece, even for Dunkel, where we're going to talk about, or was it a different one?
We were there for Spiritus, which is our last piece.
All right. Yeah. That was before.
Dunkel premiered 2022 at MDT in Stockholm and is co-produced by MDT, and MDT is part of Lifelong Burning.
Indeed, that's the four that I found. It was like, you represent us to some extent. All right, and then you both are, you have a background in classical choir, and that's where you met, right? Would you tell me about this and how it evolved in actually then working together?
There is this classical choir school in Stockholm where you have choir every day for 6 years while otherwise being a very normal kind of school.
But you're talking about school for what age?
From the age of 10 to 16, and we were in parallel classes. So not BFFs yet, but I know who Lisanne was, definitely. And then we together also chose the same gymnasium. And it was at that point, after 6 years of this choir study, that we met for reals and became close. And that was through dance also, because it was a dance sort of line of study in Stockholm as well. Yeah.
But then you two moved into very different cities, friends, and you stayed in Stockholm.
I mean,
how did you?
We moved together first to Copenhagen. Okay. Yes. So we moved from home together, and we, after a year of studying there, both in different places, dance, Lisa moved to Holland.
Yeah, the Netherlands. Mm. So Olivia did her BA in Copenhagen, and then I did my BA in the Netherlands. And then I moved back to Stockholm. And Olivia has stayed in Copenhagen.
Yeah, ever since.
But you did the master's in Montpellier.
Yeah, exactly.
And how did you end up then working together?
Well, I think you had just finished your bachelor, or and I was in my last year of my bachelor. I just remember, like, we were both getting older, no, but and like getting
still
young, but getting more experience through these educations and getting more and more into like the professional field of dance, and not really like just talking about this, but then I think we were both curious about actually doing something together. And it was like, at least for me, it felt very natural to start then with both body and voice, because we both have this like practices somehow, like for many years in our bodies. And I think it's funny to share also that, like, when we do the dishes, like, maybe we sing together, because it's like...
And put on the soprano and the alto.
Yeah.
It's a natural kind of... I mean, it's always like that a bit, I think, when you start making choreography, or, like, wanting to make yourself from coming from a dancer background, you... At least, I think we both were very, like, interested in going... being a relationship to another material that wasn't only the body, to kind of get like a driving point of interest. And I think we both have been very somehow nerdy with music for a long time, also in our like youth and what we did together. I think that type of like textures that we found in those spaces, concert spaces, dark halls, of listening and being together and experiencing, like, ecstasy and joy and darker textures. I think that was where we really could meet each other also. Mm-hmm. And then we were like, okay, so we have this choir thing going on. But what could other type of voices be that would affect our bodies back more? And here also, like, Lisen had a drummer, metal drummer boyfriend. We started talking about, like growling. Because you met that through him, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I was like in an intense like metal music period.
Yeah. I was wondering if you actually entered this sphere of growling because of an interest in metal music, or if it was from some other direction, because you were busy with voice and body and then ended up there realizing, oh, that's heavy metal. Okay. But so it was heavy metal first, and then you experimented.
Exactly. So I would say maybe a combo. Like, I was really into metal music and like affecting me in with interests and desires and curiosities. And then also, I think we immediately when we tried it, like from YouTube, I think
we were hooked.
And then it very fast became like another type of curiosity.
Yeah, I had just done like a tiny solo where I worked with the voice, but it was like more, trying to like kind of reach other places in the voice than I was usually reaching. So like more ugly textures. And then, but I was so like glad that we started talking about this specific technique also. And this felt so concrete as like a way into other textures and way into this like more rough, darker tones, where we felt also that it could expand like what we see as the dancing body or maybe the gender body at the point that we started, that we found it very interesting. Mm. Yeah.
And that's when the alto and soprano became the growling.
Exactly. Yeah.
And since we are in the midst of Dunkel already, before we get deeper, could you shortly describe what is happening in this piece, in case someone who's listening to the podcast has not seen it, just to give a brief picture of what we are talking about?
Mm-hmm. I would say that it's a group of dancers and performers departing from a very different type of specific types of growling, where growling is deconstructed and stretched
and embodied.
And embodied. So it's
first and foremost.
Yeah, it's like a very embodied, very embodied practices that we're working with. Mm. And then also, like part of this process, we have also been inspired or like felt very connected to the book The Lesbian Body by Monique Wittig, in which like she writes from like the subject, when she writes in French, it's the J/E, so like the subject is really like taken apart, and it's a very intense kind of erotics that is
very visceral type of like transgressive erotic, going through organs, blood, like very gore somehow, but super beautiful and moving. So I think this like going through a very somatic, visceral place into something relational and poetic and intense that I think maybe is.
And Dunkel is not the first piece that you did together, but it's the first group piece, right?
Yes.
How did it start? How did you develop this bigger scale of your, I mean, that's your topic that you used in other pieces as well, but how did you start enlarging this for a bigger group of people? And how did the process go?
I would say Dunkel is very much like a sister work to Everlosing, which was the first piece we made. And I think from doing a duo with these type of voices, I mean, we expanded very much, like Everlosing was more purely growling and then some like breathing expanded voices. But in this piece, I would say we're going through an expansion of this deconstruction of growling. But we realized how we were interested in this like blurring of the individual and this we felt could have like a take on another level with the group. And we had a few workshops also, or a few sessions with colleagues where we did growling together. And it was such a joyful experience. And people found it very, very joyful as well. So we saw this like resonance in between others, and like how fast one can build up an energy that is like carrying us, and this choir of bodies where the subject is like washed out without losing multiplicity of the individual as well. But this was mainly our the parting point for wanting to make a group piece.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. And since that's something that I overheard other people saying, and it also seemed a bit the expression of some people watching you, which actually was a really interesting part, because people were sitting all around, so you could see people watching you growling as well, and some really were looking at you with an open mouth and as if they would see ghosts or something totally unbelievable. And there was the question coming up again and again from different sides, how this actually can be done again and again without ruining the voice, without being without a voice the next day. So do you have also sort of developed a specific technique to do this without ruining yourself?
And then all metal singers have a technique. There is no one just like starting to scream, or maybe they start to scream and then they realize it cannot hold and then they have to go into, you know, a technique more and more. At least the vocal teachers that we have talked to have this, like, okay, they come to a point where they might almost fuck up their voice and then they go to the vocal coach and get a proper.
And is this a secret or is this something that you can just teach your mid performers?
Secret? No, no, no. And like people think that maybe like metal vocalists like smoke and yada yada, but they're like health freaks, like no alcohol, no cigarettes, lots of sleep. But like,
I when don't think we definitely
no, we're not
are not so good at following that.
But when with the basics, like, if you do it properly, then you should not hurt your vocal folds. And I mean, also it's through going into these types of things also that like you kind of where we have also unfolded the growling, because like you use, to be very technical, you use your vocal folds, but then you have something called the false chords that are situated like above the vocal folds. And like underneath the growling, when the false chords are rumbling, then you're also making this kind of sound at the same time as you're growling. So these things we have found super fascinating. Like the ghost sound of growling is like a sound. So these things we have also really gone into, like in the piece. And yeah, so like this technical starting point has also been like a part of the
interest,
yeah, and the process.
There's one more thing that I experienced, which I never experienced before when watching, and that really surprised me, because there were moments where you seemed to dig very, very deep in your body to get out some sounds, and that sort of reminded me from the sound to someone throwing up, and I had this urge of, oh, I can't throw up now, I can't throw up. Because when I see someone throwing up or when I smell someone throwing up, this immediately happens. And I was so surprised that this can be evoked only by a sound. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you were busy with as well during rehearsal or as a feedback from audience?
Yeah, we talk about this part which you talk about, we called word vomit. So for sure we are aware that when digging that deep and pushing forth a word through growling, this gets evoked. I think for us it's also, I mean, it's an investigation in the diaphragm, like how it pushes up and how like air gets like squeezed out. This vomit is definitely not like in and of itself something that we are interested in. However, it's a force. It's a force going forth. It's like an urgency to speak or urgency to get something out. And this part we were interested in. Yeah.
The Attention Young Choreographer series, it's a cooperation between the Festival of Impulstanz, the Vienna International Dance Festival, and Lifelong Burning, in the sense that the festival invites you to show your piece here, and Lifelong Burning invites you to extend your stay, to actually have a residency during in the frame of the festival here in Vienna. And you actually had time here, and you had a studio space as well, I think, after you finished your show already. So, because it often happens that people actually rehearse during their residency, or at least big parts of it. But in your case, you actually were really free to do whatever. So how was your time here, your residency? What did you do? Could you enjoy it?
We mostly used it to rehearse also, definitely. And then doing like small sessions. But I cannot lie, we have been quite smashed after this period of tiredness. So we have also like said to the dancers and choreographers that we work with in our work to also use this space for their own like research as well. So in that sense, it haven't been maybe as cohesive as most residencies might be, but it has been very useful for sure. Yeah.
So there were the group of yours. You were six performers on stage, right? They were sort of taking turns to take their time in the studio.
Yeah.
And they worked on there.
Yeah, they worked like not super organized, but yes, for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. And then since these podcasts are recorded now in the midst of the festival, but we release them in autumn and winter time, do you know already where and what you're going to be doing in the next couple of months?
Well, first of all, you have a residency in Copenhagen.
Yes, where Lucien is also going to come. Mm-hmm. And we're going to explore some practices that was developed in Spiritus, our last work.
Mm. Where we go more into any type of voice than specifically growling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So our starting point is to go into sort of mood swings with the body and voice, and whatever comes up as a voice is what we go with. It's a very lovely practice to do. Anyways, so that is the first, and then we're going to show Spiritus again in the place where we had the premiere in Stockholm, Veld. Lovely, super great space.
And we also showed Spiritus at the Angewandt Interdisciplinary Lab in Vienna.
Yeah.
A couple of years back.
Yeah, mm. It's true. And then we will go to a residency in Fuyoshida in Japan together in November to start up another like research where we will see where it will take us.
Yeah.
We'll be there for a month. Mm. And
maybe also being there a month, I imagine also like some digesting or reflection. And yeah.
Yes, we worked a lot this summer where we also, I mean, Dunkel is, since it has been ongoing for many years, this work, and now also there were two new performers into the work, we have made some quite large dramaturgical changes and like developments of the practices. So it's a lot to understand. I mean, I think we are both very excited where it landed now. But so good with both a reflection, and also often it comes from that we reflect what has just happened, and then from there something new occurs that we find necessary to go into for the next. Mm-hmm. So this, I think Japan will very much be this type of movement of like going in, reflecting back and going forth. And then we have a premiere of Spiritus in Dansehallene in Copenhagen in March, exactly. And then we're actually going to be performers in a piece departing from growling from Dries Verhoeven that is representing the Netherlands Pavilion, no?
Exactly.
Venice, exactly. So that's going to be a long period of growling for another artist. Yeah. Yes. Very exciting. Mm.
Wow. So you also have a couple of months already sort of planned ahead of you.
Yes. Very lucky. Very great. Mm. I'm looking so much forward.
Yeah. And different types of work, and also a lot of growling going up. Speaking of this, taking care of the voice.
Yeah. Mm.
Sitting in Venice at the seaside,
crawling
side. Yes, a pleasure to have them. by the suicide in Venice. We can end on that note.
Thank you very, very much for taking your time. And I hope you enjoy your last days here in Vienna. And exciting to maybe see you in Venice even. You have been listening to the podcast of the Attention Young Choreographers series. To never miss a new episode, follow us on Deezer, Podcast Addict, Apple Podcast, or Spotify. For more artist conversations, visit our websites lifelongburning.eu and impulsdance.com.